Hey, it's 10:30 in the morning here on the East Coast on May 25th, 2021. Time to do our second show of the day today here on Education Talk Radio. My name's Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio, obviously the voice of the American Consortium for Equity in Education. That's all over at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. That's where we're going to archive this podcast and where we archive all of our podcasts, which we do one or two a day, usually 4 days a week, so there's plenty over there to listen to. And that's the home of our American Consortium for Equity in Education, ace-ed.org, and, okay, you'll see our wonderful online journal over there called Equity in Access, which you will enjoy reading. Trust me, if you go over and check it out. So please do so and join with us over there. We're constantly talking about equity. It's for pre-K-12 educators. Everything we do over there is free. I got a very interesting show for you from a group called Generation 180. Okay, they have a website called solarforallschools.org, and we're going to talk about energy management in the school district, how it saves so much money if done properly, like Stockton Unified out in California, there our guest today, is doing, all right, and how that can make for a more equitable education for all the kids, better resourcing, et cetera, saving money. It's all about energy, and it takes energy to save energy, if I may be so bold. So let me introduce my guests from Generation 180, the program director, Tish Tablin. You there, Tish?
I'm here. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, and please call me Larry. It's a pleasure to have you here. And let me introduce Gilbert as well, then I'm going to get back to you. Gilbert, you there? Gilbert Rosas?
Yes, I am. Good to be here, Larry.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to have you here, my friend. What time is it? It's 7:30 in the morning out there, right, Gilbert?
Yes, it is, but I'm working in transportation, so I've been at it for a couple hours already.
Good man. That's the spirit. That's what I'd like to hear. Okay, thanks, guys, for getting up so early. I do appreciate it. Okay, we're going to make it well worthwhile for both of you. Tish, let's start with you. Can you tell everybody about Generation 180?
Yes, so thank you for having me. Generation 180 is a nonprofit organization. We're based in Charlottesville, Virginia, and we're interested in empowering people to take clean energy action in their communities. And I lead our program that we call Solar for All Schools.
Mm-hmm.
So we provide resources and support to help all schools around the country reap the benefits of clean energy.
And you are in a beautiful spot in Charlottesville, University of Virginia, Thomas Jefferson, the whole schmear. Okay, Monticello, you couldn't ask for a more beautiful part of the world. Right, Tish?
We love it. That's why we've been here a long time.
Yeah, it's a great it really is a great place. And Gilbert, tell us about Stockton, and I just want to say two things. I know Stockton had some bad years a few years ago, and you know, it's been a tough couple, maybe a tough decade. I'm just curious, how are things going? How are the schools? Are things on the rebound, etc.? Stockton, California. Yeah. Stockton Unified.
Yep, Stockton in Northern California. We're about an hour south of Sacramento. It's going good. We've been off for a while because of COVID, but the kids are coming back, and we're excited because we actually have a brand new electric battery electric bus fleet. So we're now reducing emissions, and the kids are going to be able to ride in clean vehicles, so we're very excited.
Oh, that you know, I hadn't thought of that. I knew you had the new bus fleet, and over the past year you haven't been using them because the kids have been remote. I just realized that.
Well, and we've also just got it up and running. We executed our grant May 6th of last year in the middle of COVID. Even though that was happening, we got it built and done by December. And so we've just now checked the charging system out, and buses started arriving March 23rd. And so we will have 11 buses filling the 24 charging spots we've got so far.
Oh, man, we're going to talk about this. Gilbert Rosas, everybody, the Elon Musk of the Stockton Unified School District. Right? This is really cool. Nikola Tesla, this is really cool. I got to tell you, I think it's just great, and I'm glad things are on the upswing. Can you describe for us, or demographically, however you want to do it, Stockton Unified? Gilbert, just so people get it.
We've got 56 schools, and we serve approximately 40,000 students.
Wow.
And we've got you know, the cool thing about Stockton is we have been working on energy conservation for a long time. I've been here since 2012, and we've are on course to still save $22 million in the first 10 years of this program. So we're right there coming to the finish line. But the cool thing about this is that we've gone from energy conservation, which costs very little money, and, you know, talking about turning off the lights and watching schedules and being careful, to now getting a grant from the California Climate Investments that's $5 million. And we built an infrastructure for 24 chargers. It was going to be 14, but we got some rebates. We've been working. I kid around. I said, I'm that single mom at the cash register trying to get everything I can for my kids. I'll grab, beg, borrow, and steal any coupon I can so that we get it. And so that's what we've been working on. We've parlayed the $5 million into three other grants and some other work where we're up to about $12 million. And hopefully with other partners, we might be getting another 10 buses, so we could be up to $17 million.
That's great. And explain to me, this is the thing I don't understand what you just said. You went from, I think, as you said, I lost the numbers, but let's say 10 to 24 charging stations. Why does that particularly matter? Because the buses just charge overnight, right? Can't you,
correct.
Just help me out with that one, yeah.
Yeah, this is a new facility at Stockton, so we've never had electric buses before. So when we got the new grant for $5 million last year, in less than 11 months, less than a year, we built the charging system. And so construction of that, a lot of times, you know, with working with the utility companies, getting a contractor together, doing physical upgrades at the transportation yard, all of that usually takes about 2 to 2.5 years. So I'm sure if you check around with people, nobody's ever built it in less than a year. And so we're very excited and very proud of that.
Should be.
Things, you know, figured out and designed partially before we even happened. We had a long-range plan of this, and we're just really proud of the fact that we will be doing this for our community and for our kids, and we use a student energy patrol. You can see our video to tell the story about energy conservation, and we're doing four more videos through CARB, the California Air Resources Board. They're the ones who started this clean mobility in the schools pilot project. So we really are excited about all the opportunities, and like I said, we've parlayed that $5 million into a California Energy Commission grant that's given us two more buses from the four that we got from CARB. And then San Joaquin Valley Air Pollution Control District here in our area, they came up with another five buses. So that's how we got to 11 buses. So originally we planned for 14 to have a little extra capacity. But when we got some rebate money with the local utility, PG&E kicked in, now we've afforded to put those other chargers in, so now we'll have 24 chargers. And it's kind of like the field of dreams. If you build it, the electric buses will come. So we're building it and getting ready.
Wow. Congratulations on all that. That's just one part of what you're doing, okay? Tish, talk about how you work with Stockton, all right? And, again, your website, if I may, is Solar for All Schools. All right. Now we're talking about. I don't know if the buses pull their electricity from solar or not. But just talk about what you do with Stockton. And maybe Gilbert can answer that question. I don't know the answer. Actually, let me just ask that. Gilbert, does the electric for the buses come from solar, or does it come from PG&E wires? Just real quick answer.
Yes, it does come from solar partially, and partially from the grid itself. But we use at least 60% of that will be coming from solar.
Thank you.
60% of our 56 schools are on solar right now, which is a unique thing for any district. And we've even got two battery storage facilities at our largest high schools, and that also cuts down our peak demand costs for electricity. So we've done everything we can to, you know, use clean energy throughout our schools, and I think that's what Tish is all about. And she's been great to help us, you know, connect with other schools and get, you know, like this podcast together. And, you know, we just love the fact that, you know, she's working throughout the country with a lot of different schools to try to make this a top priority from our end.
Yeah, and you guys are a prime example of this. Congratulations for this. And I might add, as managing all this, you're probably going to heaven, okay, where I think they're going to use it. It's closer to solar. It's up there. Okay.
Yep.
So it's good news. Tish, talk about what you do across the board here and how you work with Stockton and all that sort of stuff.
Great. So Generation 180 is providing resources and support to help schools go solar. So what that looks like is first we provide information and resources. So that can be sharing success stories of Stockton Unified School District. So, you know, I will give Gilbert all the credit for the amazing work they're doing at Stockton. But what we're doing is saying, hey, those schools that don't have a rock star like Gilbert, they need some help and they need some inspiration. You know, so we found that that's really one of the biggest barriers for school districts is, you know, if they don't have a superstar energy manager or maybe they don't have an energy manager at all, then they really need some support to figure out how do I get this done. You know, so one of the things we're doing is we're starting what we're calling a clean energy leader network where we can really pair people like Gilbert with school districts that need more support. They need to understand, like, how did you navigate the utility? How did you navigate all the grants? So all of that work that goes into just figuring out what is the right clean energy plan for your district, you know, takes some mentoring. And we know that it's more successful to match peers with peers. So another facilities manager with a facilities manager where they can speak the same language, understand the same barriers that they faced, and learn more quickly from someone that's been there and figured out the path. So that's one resource we provide.
Yep, go ahead.
We also have a help desk where you can go on our website and really just search your questions. You know, what kind of solar panels do I need? What kind of financing options do we have? So we've really filled our site with as many resources as we can from you can just send us an email and ask us a question, and we can try to direct you to either our leaders or some other resources we've developed. We have a how-to guide that we've written that literally walks you through step by step from step one to the last step of how do you get your school decision makers on board to, you know, what kind of support do you need to finish the project.
And everybody, it's generation180.org. You can go there, and you can also go to solarforallschools.org. And Tish, what brought this about, okay, to create a niche organization, so to speak, that wants to put solar energy and better, if I may, energy usage all around into schools, okay? Something must have prompted that, okay? It's such a cool niche, okay? So talk about that if you can. I'm curious.
Is a great question. Yeah. So our organization is about 5 years old, and Generation 180, our name, implies that we have to be the generation to turn 180 degrees away from fossil fuels and towards clean energy. You know, climate change is happening so quickly. You know, we really have to act quickly. This next decade is so critical for us to keep our planet healthy and be able to preserve the resources we need to keep going. So our vision is around clean energy and empowering people to do what they can in their communities. And schools were a logical place to start because there's a school in every community, and they're highly visible, important places in the community. You know, we know from research that solar is contagious, and you know, and that's actually a positive word for solar. You know, being contagious is a good thing.
Yes.
So we, when we see,
perhaps there's a better word considering the pandemic. Okay, than contagious.
Exactly. But we are looking to. You know, when people in Stockton see that clean school bus driving around where they're not coughing when a dirty diesel school bus is driving up spewing glass emissions, you know, that impacts the community. When schools go solar, students see it, parents see it. We know teachers go solar in their homes when their schools have solar. Neighboring school districts go solar. You know, I bet Gilbert can share some examples of neighboring school districts looking at what they're doing at Stockton and saying, hey, they can do it at Stockton, we can do
anybody
it here.
Can do it. Yep.
We just see this positive ripple effect.
It's really great, and I got to tell you, as you said that, I think when you talk climate change, and I am a firm believer in climate change, don't misunderstand this, that sometimes raises people's political hackles, okay? I'm not saying that's a good thing. I'm saying it just does, okay? But it's really, you could phrase this as part of a climate change initiative, which I personally think is wonderful, okay? But you can also phrase all this, if I'm not mistaken, okay, as an economic initiative. And you said that using schools, they're so obvious within a community. Every community is familiar with schools. And the amazing thing is we all pay for those schools. So when you make a change like this, okay, you're affecting the entire community. You're affecting the real estate values and the taxpayers' pocketbooks. Okay, and so I want to swing back over to Gilbert for a second. Gilbert, again, California usually leads the way in these kind of things. You're talking to me. I'm in Maine, okay, which is usually last. Okay, so tell me, okay, as you went to the taxpayers, okay, and they looked at all this, and you know, the parents, the whole community, okay, well, how'd you work it through? How'd the school board, et cetera? Somebody has to approve all this. Gilbert.
The main thing to realize with that is that simply we had a long-range plan to go from energy conservation to, again, going green, but the typical obstacle or hurdle was how do we create the funding? Well,
yep.
You know, Stockton has had some ups and downs with budgets, yep. And we've had budget cuts last year of about $20 million and $22 million this year. So, again, we have no extra money. It's just like any family that's on the low-income or moderate-income level. 82% of our schools are in disadvantaged communities, as identified by Cal and EnviroScreen. But what we've realized is we want to parlay the money that we save on energy conservation and reinvest it back into our schools because it makes good fiscal sense in the long term. And so we applied for these grants, and there were a couple of them, and we got monies in those grants. And that when we have that money, you say, okay, well, I'm going to build the infrastructure. And so once I build the infrastructure, then we'll figure other ways, things that we qualify for other grants. So that was the plan, was we really just came up with sending grants out there. We got a couple of grants, and then we started putting them all together, and then we just had a real aggressive policy to try to build it as fast as we can, because you realize the longer it takes, time is money. So if you spend too much time, costs go up, you're going to have to cut your stuff out of what you can afford to do. So we hit the deck running, built it in less than a year, and then picked up, like I called, the coupons, at the cash register, and we just kept putting them together until we saved as much money as we can. And the other thing is, I think that education is the only way to get out of poverty. It's the only long-term way to do it. But we also believe that for a disadvantaged community, the only formula for change is this. You take grant investment plus energy conservation plus a reduced emissions program plus indoor air quality standards, and that equals environmental justice. So as well as teaching kids how to save money, we teach how it doesn't matter what neighborhood you live in, the buses will be quieter when they're battery-powered. There will be less emissions around the kids that are actually getting in and out of the buses. And if you don't believe the pollution is real, come sit in the yard when everybody's turning on the buses first thing in the morning and the whole transportation yard smells like fuel. So we've actually put our money where our mouth is and taken steps to do it. Now, just like eating well, doing the right thing for clean energy costs more money. So electric buses are at least double the price of what a diesel fuel bus will be. But it's the right long-term thing to do. So we find ways to get grants or do that. The other thing you talked about money, like out of state. Well, what I ask people is, our example is for $5 million, we built the infrastructure for 24 charging stations and included 4 buses in that $5 million. So I think every city and county and state within the union, I think the whole United States, they can find $5 million for a disadvantaged community and use this footprint or model that we've created to get electric buses to it. Not talking about it, but doing it as quick as we can. So we don't want to be the example just for kudos for ourselves or our prize. We want to do it so that we can show and share our experience so that we can have this throughout the country and not just for our kids, but for theirs as well.
Yeah, Tish, talk about all this. Put this into an economic formula that makes sense for people, too. Because, you're in Virginia. Gilbert's out in California. Just talk about what you see over from the catbird seat over Generation 180.
Sure, and I'll circle back to what you were saying about, this making economic sense. And absolutely. And when we talk to school districts, I don't really lead with climate change. What I lead with is how this is a win-win for school districts, both for financial resiliency and for improving student education. So we've seen school district after school district just saving tons of money and really making ends meet by reducing their energy bills. You're taking taxpayer your taxpayer dollars right now are paying a utility bill when you can take those dollars and reinvest them back into students. You know, so we know there's a school district in Batesville, Arkansas, and they use energy efficiency and solar to save $4 million over 20 years. And every bit of that savings is now going to teacher pay raises. So they went from a district that was one of the lowest in their state in teacher pay to now one of the highest in their region. And there are teachers now seeing raises of up to $15,000 a year, all funded by clean energy.
And what is it when you go into a school district, this is what you do, okay, what is their normal reaction as you start talking about all this? I mean, because school districts, and unfortunately, a lot of schools in this country, okay, are really old. They were built a long time ago, okay? There's not enough of them that are new and up to date. And as we learned with the pandemic, just the ventilation systems is going to be enough aggravation, et cetera, okay, in the old infrastructure of schools. So as you go into a school district and talk, what are the reactions of people?
Well, like I said, I think this just makes sense. So we really are first looking at states where you can go solar with essentially no upfront cost, little to no upfront cost. So this makes it truly accessible for all schools in that state. So there are 29 states plus D.C. that have something called power purchase agreements. Stockton Unified has used them. California has it. And in those states, essentially, the solar developer pays for the installation and maintenance of the solar panels, and then the school district will purchase that energy, just like you might purchase it from the utility, but you purchase the solar energy from those solar panels, and typically at a rate lower than what you would have paid the utility. So not only did they have zero upfront costs and no maintenance costs for their facility staff, but they're saving money right away. So in Tucson Unified School District, we know that they're saving $1.1 million per year by having solar canopies on 80 schools. So rooftop wasn't even an issue. They put raised solar canopies on their parking lots, on their play yards to provide shade. So that way they didn't have to worry about aging infrastructure. And in Arizona, that state ranks at the bottom for spending per student. So that superintendent will tell you, you know, they had very dire times right when they first installed their solar panels, and that savings was so critical for them making ends meet. And now, like I said, they're saving $1.1 million per year. So all of those savings are going towards school buses, computers, sports equipment, all of the necessary capital costs that they have.
Tish, this works, but what percentage of school districts would you say, you mentioned some good-sized ones, i.e. Tucson, Stockton, et cetera, okay? What percentage of school districts are doing this?
That is a great question, and that's what the goal of our program is to accelerate this. But unfortunately, it's only 5.5% of schools in the country that have any kind of solar, and that can be just even, we included in our report, even small demonstration systems, even if they have something just to educate students with, it's really not generating a meaningful amount of power. You know, that's, we're still only at less than 6%. And there's such
and
a
yet,
great untapped potential for
there really
to
is,
do
but,
this.
Yeah, and it's absurd because what you're saying, and Gilbert's another prime example, okay, this works. I mean, this is working on some level. It's working everywhere it's being used, but the word isn't getting out there as well as it should. What do you think the biggest obstacle is? School districts aren't stupid. What's holding them back? Maybe they are stupid, but go ahead. Anyway, Gilbert, go ahead. That was you. Go ahead.
Yeah. I was just going to say that a lot of times it ends up being that you have somebody that has the experience or the expertise or the time to chase after it. You know, you need good – like, for example, with our $5 million, we have four different huge grant partners. One of them is Center for Transportation and the Environment, CTE. And they're used to working with state government officials, with all transit agencies. So they're fairly new to schools, but they have a lot of school projects. But the good news is they've been lobbying for electric buses and battery-powered and fuel cell and all different types of busing, but to get it away from the diesel fuel and from gas entirely.
Yeah.
And you also need somebody like Schneider Electric, where you know a good construction manager that knows what you're doing, and they're a design-build sort of contractor that can do everything from design to getting all the subs out there to making the construction happen quick. Then you've got Sage Renewables, who's usually an owner's rep, but again, looks at long-term and short-term energy strategies of how to save money and be good stewards for school districts. And a lot of times they're owner's reps to make sure that they get all the construction done the right way with PPAs, like Tish had mentioned. The other is Mobility House, and they're a charging specialist that knows about how to do the infrastructure and manage the charging so that you make sure that you use the right routes, that you're teaching them how to use the charging system the right way. You know, there's AC chargers, DC chargers, there are different levels and types, and all that has to be tied into solar and how it works. So you need a lot of expertise in order to get this done. Building a bus yard or infrastructure or electric buses isn't a simple task, and then to be able to work with your utility company to make sure that they have good rates for you and that they have rebate programs and that they can help you, or the local air quality control districts. Those are all things that are important. And whatever your EPA standard is or group that does it, for us it's California Air Resources Board, CARB. I'm just saying that there are a lot of moving parts, and like Tish was saying, unless you've got a champion that will go after this, you know, it's very difficult for a school district. But that's why we'd love to share all this and our, you know, learning curve and all the different things, because that's how we help each other, right? I mean, it is about getting all these electric buses. I mean, the Biden administration's made this a top priority, and now it is about helping. And why not start with disadvantaged communities, you know, that help with the equity part of it all at the same time?
Yep, it saves. Yeah, it does. It's just more efficient. It's obvious. And I have to say, I don't know if you ever watched that Bill Maher show, Real Time, but he's always moaning and groaning about the amount of bureaucracy, okay, in California. And in terms of, he's been moaning and groaning about it, just about putting solar energy into his own home. And finally that happened. But my point being that, you know, Gilbert's in California. And look what he had to go through with the bureaucracy. But California is the king of bureaucracy, okay? And the other states, it might be – Tish, is it easier in the other states? You got 49 of them. They have to be easier than California, okay? Not that I don't love California,
yes.
Gilbert. Not that I don't love California.
Well, I will say California, while it has bureaucracy, it blows the other states away in terms of solar on schools. In a report, we saw, you know, California had more solar on schools than the next 5 or 6 states combined.
Wow, there you go.
So they are doing something right there.
Well, my point being, if this can be done in California, okay, you can do it in any, you can do this anywhere, okay?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, that was the challenge I made.
Go ahead, Gilbert. Go ahead, kid.
I was just going to say, that was the challenge I made to everybody is, despite the bureaucracy and the difficulty in building codes and all that, we got it done in a year. So for $5 million, we can show a way to do your infrastructure costs and chargers and all that and get it done in 1 year, and buses arriving. So that's a footprint that we should use. That's a model that we can use, and we're excited to do that.
Yep. So, Tish, where are we now? How do you guys move this all forward?
Great question. So, you know, to circle back to your question about barriers, you know, of course, what Gilbert said is right on, that you really first need to have a champion that pushes it all forward. You know, so we've seen that again and again. And, you know, like in Santa Barbara, California, it took a school board member who made it her mission to add clean energy on their schools. And she will say it's not something that anyone was opposing, but they really just didn't have bandwidth, and she had to be the champion to just push it up the priority list. And once they did that, it moved forward. But, you know, so one, like what Gilbert said, they need a champion. Two, the other biggest barrier we're seeing is really that financing piece. So once you get people on board, then they say, great, we're on board. How do we afford this? So we talked about power purchase agreements, and our research found that 79% of solar installed on schools was paid for by some kind of third-party arrangement like this, where it didn't come out of the school budget. So we know that that piece is critical. So we're really focusing on that piece where we have more than half the country where this is allowed, but a state like Florida, the Sunshine State, ranks in the bottom half of the country for solar on schools. It's a shame. So we worked on this past the past few months to try to pass a bill in the state legislature that will allow this kind of third-party financing that eliminates that upfront cost and maintenance cost for schools. So it's trying to remove these unnecessary barriers for really schools, nonprofits, localities, and also provide a way to capitalize on the tax credit for clean energy. So it provides a multitude of benefits. So we're looking at how do we address that inertia barrier by empowering clean energy leaders like Gilbert, and then how do we address policy barriers like what we see in states like Florida.
Right. And let me ask, Generation 180, and I know you work with school district administration, but do you folks have curriculum materials that schools can use? Okay, because if we can get kids interested in this, sometimes they can talk to their parents, parents talk to the school board, et cetera. Are there curriculum materials available?
Absolutely. A lot of school districts are coming up with their own, but we have a great partner called NEED, National Energy Education Development Project, and they have curriculum that standards aligned that can be used in any state, and they also have a network of trainers that will come and do professional development with your staff.
Oh, wow.
So a lot of the solar installers here in Virginia will use NEED in their contract, so that will be built into their solar project for schools, that they will come and provide through NEED additional professional development to make sure teachers know how to use it in the curriculum, and it just makes it easier for them to add that into the classroom.
Yeah, and it's cool because it creates a groundswell. You know, the kids learn it, the parents, et cetera, and then they take it home, et cetera, et cetera. How do people find NEED? Would they just go to your website, or is there, they have a specific place for that? Do you know?
Great question. Their website is NEED.org, and we also have links to it from our website as well.
Okay, cool. That's Generation180.org. You two are amazing. Hey, Gilbert, you really pushed this through. I got to tell you, man. Okay, you're like Superman. Do you like fly to work and just hang your cape or something? Right, electrically, well, of course. Electrically.
Yeah, well, energy education has been my passion at the school, and, you know, I get excited. We've done Earth Day celebrations at our local high school, Merlot Institute of Environmental Technology. That's high school kids that are actually working on a video right now for us, like Story of a Sunbeam, how you take the sun's energies in a photon and turn that into solar panels and make buses move. So we've got a lot of – and they're doing this animated. They're going to draw it and story script it and everything else. It's one of the four videos we're doing for our CARB grant. We wanted to do community outreach and surveys.
Yeah,
and
good.
We think that the videos are great because it gives our kids a chance to teach. Yeah, so if you definitely check out the Stockton website under, you know, the energy conservation page,
it
has
US,
solar
Stockton
panels.
USD.
Our solar panels
net.
Have a live dashboard. So.
Is StocktonUSD.net? Would that take a minute?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. That's cool. This is really something. Tish, keep up the good work. I got to tell you, it's great stuff.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you both. Keep it up. You should be proud of what you're doing out there, okay? It makes a difference to a lot of people. Thank you, Tish. Thank you, Gilbert.
All right. Thank you for having
Take
us.
Care.
We appreciate it.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, everybody. Generation180.org. Check that out. And also solarforallschools.com. .org. You can reach Gilbert at StocktonUSD.net, and it's Gilbert Rosas. Okay? Good people. I got to tell you, doing some great work. All right? Make it happen. Make it so, number one. All right? My name's Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Go over to ACE-ED.org. See what we do over there for equity. My name's Larry Jacobs. Thanks. I said that twice. Still Larry Jacobs. Even now.